Following the financial crises of 2008, the banking and finance industry faced a host of new challenges. Most of these had to do with tighter regulations that were introduced to the industry, namely Basel III, forcing banks to put aside higher capital for its risk. As a result, banks today are forced to rethink their strategy and adopt leaner models, as well as invest in building a risk awareness culture internally. While global markets faced challenges of regulations, Asian markets had its own challenges, mainly dealing with fragmentation in the region. Today, we are seeing both global and regional banks compete against local banks in such an environment.
American investment bank Lehman Brothers has filed for bankruptcy in New York. That's happened in the last few minutes. It means the Wall Street institution, which has been in business for 150 years and survived the Great Depression, is now the most high-profile casualty of the credit crunch.
In that fateful month of 2000, September and 8, when Lehman Brothers collapsed, I can tell you exactly what I was thinking. God help us. We believed that the financial system had developed ways for each institution to escape the consequences of bad risks. Each institution had come up with a way to take risks without incurring the responsibility. The problem, which should have been obvious earlier, was just because the lender got rid of the responsibility didn't mean it went away to Never Never Land. What we had was a system for one set of entities to incur the, create the risk, and then pass it along to another set of entities. And our job, we believed, was to change that and to reconnect the taking of risk for the responsibility of the risk.
For the first time, the public is benefiting from seeing the price and volume of each swap transact. Secondly, for the first time, the public will benefit from greater access to the market that comes from centralized clearing and the risk reduction.
By having more innovative sort of products to transfer the risk from, you know, credit intermediaries or banks to, you know, other investors, not a bad thing to begin with. I think it's just the assumption used in actually pricing and modeling the amount of risk or capital required for such products was actually too simplistic.
I mean, Basel is a response to the extreme financial crisis that we faced in 2007-2009. What is going to happen is that if you need to hold more capital, and if you need to hold more liquidity, then business models will shift, strategies will also shift. So it is very likely that banks over time in their response to Basel III may return to focusing back on the customer.
Naturally, when you're looking at Asia Pacific, as you said, we're so fragmented. There's multiple countries, multiple jurisdictions that you're dealing with. It's not challenging just for us, but also challenging for a number of market participants, asset managers, investment managers, brokers, and global players as well.
Let me say, a borderless flow throughout Asia is a dream.
We know Asia best. Right, we know our markets, we know our clients, and a lot of these clients are actually attached to one organization to serve their global needs. So we will always choose to go and support our clients in the products that they want.
Yes.
And if it is not on a risk-reward, you know, compatibility basis, we will not hesitate to say, maybe perhaps another bank might provide you with it.
Right now, Asia is experiencing some macroeconomic challenges, which actually have resulted in some slowdowns. We are very, very committed to being here through the cycle.
A decade ago, whereby foreign banks still dominate that space. But these days, I think foreign banks, if you're talking about service products, we can say that we are at par with the foreign banks.
Well, we can't support them because our footprint may not be as extensive as a local bank. We work with local banks to expand the network.
Also from a cultural perspective, there's a large difference. For instance, if you look to Malaysia, Thailand, Indonesia, or you go to China or Korea. even Japan, it's a complete different market than, for instance, some other markets across Asia. Mostly looking at the overall ecosystem, each bank needs to adapt to each specific market and but find the standardization across those markets to very much be cost efficient. Because if you would build for each market something different, the cost will be enormously high. So it's almost localization while being international.
Along with crises and challenges, the banking industry has also seen opportunities with the introduction of disruptive technology in the industry.
But I understand that the issue of fintech is a very important one.
These companies that you see behind me will be the new competitors to the traditional bank branches.
The first bank to allow mobile-to-mobile payments or mobile-to-email payments. So let's say a group of friends go out for a dinner together and somebody owes $10 to another person. He doesn't need bank account numbers or anything at all. He just transferred the money to the mobile number. And it's not done in a way that you have to actually open an account. No, you don't need to. You can transfer the money electronically to another person. He can either put it in another account or he can actually go to a branch and get the money out if he wants to.
For example, mobile banking and peer-to-peer technology are all examples of disruptions that could benefit the population at large by providing banking services to a segment of the Asian population that were unbanked.
We reach out electronically to the unbanked population. Number two, it also helps the unbanked population to understand the strength of banking. And that's helped us get a lot of customers who are using banking services for the first time in their life.
In the rural area, it is, you know, pretty difficult to set up the infrastructure to open the banks and to reach out to customers. Or, you know, we cannot invite them so often to the banking.
Banks are determining all these group of, or categorizing these group of people as high-risk people. So it's like we need to come out with ways to reach out to this segment and include them back to this segment. So currently non-banks are doing it. So if we can make the process efficient, the rates can drop. And even if we can prove that these consumers are paying back on time, they can be moved to the banking segment where they get affordable and cheaper credit.
Banks have to collaborate because they may not have the budget, they may not have the capabilities, not intellectually, but the teams that they have are really entrenched into doing other stuff. It could be regulatory work, for example. So they have to collaborate.
I think we have to acknowledge the fact that trust is changing. Yes, I would trust you because I see you, I meet you, I know who you are, but it is changing. Thanks to social media, thanks to digital engagements, thanks to all the big companies.
Banks will be challenged to reinvent their business models.
The new advances in technology enable banks to offer more interesting services or the same old services, but in more interesting platforms to enable this younger population to adapt banking faster and also to avoid the pitfalls that we had in the West.
You're seeing the rise of regional banks like Asian banks.
With the industry facing challenges in some areas and opportunities in others, we truly believe that a transformation in finance is about to begin.